How is this podcast getting more lo-fi?
I just love that this has turned into like year six art class or something at home. It's like, go home and make it, I don't know, a teepee with your school buddies. Like, that was so poor.
That's all we've got.
It's incredibly poor.
We've been reduced from a laptop. Thank you very much, FBI, for providing some computing device that I'm pretty sure was from the same year as Kevin 07. But it finally broke down, so we don't have access to music. So we're now reduced to Miss Love using his roaming data, which is already at $180 a month, as is, because he doesn't know how to change his phone to airport mode.
No, I know how. I'm just addicted to InfoWars.com. So I blast through.
Yeah. Are we gonna talk about that first?
The hidden cost of the InfoWars. The documentary. Yes. Behind Kosovo. The modern version of that.
He's just so entertaining.
But you can't feed your family. I don't care.
That is a huge chunk of your body. For somebody who was on $19 an hour.
Is it even 19? It's unbelievable how Miss Love is paying $180, which
maybe
I'm
we
pretty
should start
sure
with this. Maybe we should start with this.
We probably should, which means our
we lead. Have. We already have.
Yeah, we've already started with it.
Thank you very much for bringing us up to speed. Would you like to punch him in the face now, Ali?
Oh,
this
so we're
is
not
what we're
start?
Starting
okay.
with. Dessert with before dinner. All dinner. Right. We were going to put this as a closer to the end of this story because we were both thinking, I don't know, Miss Love, are people interested in how high your bill is? I think they'd be very interested, though, with you getting punched.
It's just crap. Yeah, it's just crap content. We need some good stuff. And I'm pretty sure me getting punched in the face is up there with the good stuff.
Oh yeah, it's definitely up. It's up there with the 1991 Iraq War when they found that road of death. it's those moments. These are the moments in media that are going to be remembered into the future.
I'm just
glad.
Just
this sound of, oh dude, that was way harder than what I was expecting, man.
Okay, so
I'm just excited. I'm, you know, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
Not here. Not here.
Well, you're just like pointing at your face.
No, this is the sweet spot. What is this? This segment.
The technical term for that, Miss Love, is cheek.
Yes. Yes.
A lot of stupid pointies.
God, I'm getting dumber by the day.
Okay,
where's
what if
my cheek?
What if I miss your sweet spot and hit your not so sweet spot?
I'm not. Come on, people have died in wars. I can get. I just punch me in the hell. No, no, no.
But people like die
He's
with
not a
one
squealer.
Punch.
Huh?
Yeah, I don't want to do like that one punch kill.
One punch kill?
Are you... I don't think you're going to king hit him.
Why not?
You can, but the one punch kill
I'm
is...
I'm a mutant, fell into some radiation when I was a kid.
The one punch kill is more about...
He is, yeah. He's
are you
from
Superman?
Karachi. We
you're
don't
Superman.
Know if that's true or not. There probably is. There probably is some 10-year-old boy there with octopus arms.
I'm not like really drunk and Irish at 4 a.m. in King's Cross, so I don't think I'll die even if you punch me really hard.
Yeah, okay. We'll find out.
Specifically, like, to the right of Anglo-Saxon ethnic instance.
It's always Irish people that, like, get taken out, isn't it? I swear in the cross it's always, like, another 30-year-old Irishman has died. I don't want to, keep pushing stereotypes,
But what is up with Irish people?
Oh, they're mad. Love Irish people.
They are fucking crazy. I hung out with one Irish guy and like made the horrible mistake of trying to compete with him when it came to drinking. Dude,
oh,
he
really?
Killed me.
Is, like, is that true? I mean, do they really hold their liquor in it?
Well, that guy did. I think it's generally white people. They're fucking great at holding their liquor.
I suppose because, you know,
booze bosses.
Well, we've been drinking the longest, haven't we?
Yeah, that's
genetics.
That's what Jordan and I were discussing, because I thought maybe they were like some Chinese dudes that were probably drinking before white people.
Yeah, but I think we came to the conclusion that the Egyptians had booze. But then there was a long break between... It was a long time before drinks.
Right.
Until we got to Rome.
No pun intended, mate.
Yeah, I suppose it wasn't. Now punch him in the face. Let's get on.
Oh, are you going to stand up? This is really going to hurt, isn't it?
Yeah. This is what Miss Love said before this podcast started. I think that getting punched in the face and it hurting is a myth.
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean? Yeah.
Oh,
why are you dead? I did hit the sweet spot.
That was a good punch. That was a good punch.
Yeah, man. Street bare knuckle boxing, baby.
You know what? If there was a job, if there was a profession where someone had to punch someone to an exact amount at which they're asked to in an exact way, you would be perfect at that job.
Thank you very much. I'm pretty good at punching people.
That's so good.
That was a solid. That was good. Like, it wasn't too hard, but it wasn't too soft. Like, it hurts, but it doesn't hurt too much. That was a good solid hit.
I'm quite satisfied with the punch as well. This is the sort of punch.
Smallest of the Goldilocks and the Three Bearses.
He's got a good swing too. I felt like
it was very impressive. Your punch. You did look. Didn't like you reckon one he seized up guys. And then, like yeah. the. In I the felt... animation before a heavyweight championship starts, where it goes, that punch, it's the, like, 3D animated to perfection.
I felt like
it's a simple one because like
it was good. Was it left or right?
It was left.
It was good because that jab.
Left has less power. Yeah. But left is more, in my opinion, is more accurate.
Yeah, he can. I wouldn't take her. I wouldn't take her. You could see us upright in a fight. I felt like when Homer gets punched by what's his name. Peppy or whatever, the adopter kid, you know, it's like Homer gets a big brother. It's like, I love you, Bart, or whatever. And they're like skydiving. He's like the drunken, rambling Homer Simpson's like, yes, who are
right.
you?
And,
and the last punch, he goes, boom. And he's like, my spine. I just felt like that. That was good.
What is the first person about that is... He had this... Mislav had the same look on him as a child when he's waiting in line for the aquarium. Why did that excite you?
I don't know.
Did you go, yeah, when you got hit in the face?
I think...
Why did the song in your head start playing of, everyone is jumping, jumping.
It was like
when the Fonz punches a jukebox. It wasn't a fleshy jukebox.
I did hit him. Like, it was technically supposed to hurt him a bit.
It was good. I don't know. I feel like I am actually moving towards a point in my life where, like, you know, in the near future, I will just start Fight Club, and I'll be in Fight Club.
What? We've had it, but we don't really know what we've had it at. Yeah. And then it all just results in you blowing up the Lithgow Chinese shop. That's your fuck you establishment. Just ruining Doris's livelihood. Who you, by all accounts, have said is a wonderful woman. You ought to hang your head in shame.
Oh my God. How did you equate... I'm not going to explode... The Lithgow RSL, they do. Their sweet and sour pork's too delicious.
Is the Chinese restaurant inside the RSL? Oh, Lee. Welcome to rural Australia.
They're always inside some white establishment, like a corner Chinese. I remember, like, Ballinger and I went to, like, the golf course, and my uncle took me to, like, this really small Chinese place, and he said, I'm going to feed you Chinese today. And I told him...
What? You've had that before.
Yeah,
right?
But I was like, no, uncle, you can fuck off. I am not having the shitty Chinese. And so,
yes,
why...
You know for a fact, yeah, it is not an option if you don't come from a rural town. It's a lot like when you're in Pakistan and you're poor. You can handle drinking the water out of the scummy rivers there.
Yeah.
But as Mislav found out, no, you need an iron stomach to handle sweet and sour pork from a Chinese shop called the Golden Dragon.
It's so strange.
And why is it always the Golden Dragon?
Oh, man, it's so strange that in rural Australia, the amount of, like... Chinese restaurants that literally it's either like King Xing Dynasty, like dynasty.
Let's be honest, you don't share any lineage with King Xing.
Was there a King Xing?
I don't know.
I feel like, that's too perfect of a rhyme to be an actual thing.
And then there's King
Xing.
Yeah, and then
they've looked around. Nobody's ever in the Lithgow Library. They're not checking that out.
And then there's like Golden Dragon, you know, like Golden Serpent. It's always this really...
Yeah, anything with the word golden or lucky, stay clear from that.
And they have, and they always have way too much real estate. Like, they have a massive, like, factory that's basically their restaurant. It's like, you should spend more in the aesthetics of your restaurant rather than the square meters.
Because you spend too much. How about you not buy canton and just put that on chicken? How about you learn how to cook Chinese food? That might actually generate you some problems. I don't think the problem here is that you're running out of space for customers. Every time I've been there, it's just been me and a woman who's definitely called Gladys.
Yes.
Oh, man, and also so stock some chopsticks. Dude.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, get this. Actually, this is great.
Oh, my God. Are you for real?
How weird is that that is an option in rural town places? And they get excited when you ask for chopsticks.
No.
Hey, they just done their research.
No, not even. I went to Lithgow, the RSL, and a few weeks ago, I guess, and we were eating there. And someone mentioned chopsticks. I was like, yeah, like, you know, I actually like eating with chopsticks. I don't know. I feel like it adds to the experience. If it's Asian, you know, I feel like it adds to the experience of the food, the aesthetic. Yeah. So I asked for chopsticks, and they didn't let me have them.
We trying to be too...
What? So she said, yeah, they're available, but not for you.
She said, I asked them. She was like, yep. And then just didn't bring them. I just kind of was like...
That is a staple of a Chinese restaurant, regardless of whether it's good or bad. You have to ask for table water at least 5 times.
Oh, yeah.
If you ever ask for anything optional that's not on the table,
tea.
I don't know what happens at that point. Why is it so difficult for them to remember chopsticks?
eating
they
utensil.
They can sit there and memorize everything that you've asked for. Just being like, okay, so kimching dumplings, get some honey prawn chicken. Yeah. They can do all of that perfectly.
No, because that's what they normally get as orders. They're used to, like, nobody asked them for chopsticks ever in their life.
No, the thing is...
They're like, yeah, really? Why people do use that?
Yeah, Chairman Mao's China, where chopsticks was the only option, so nobody ever said, hey, you forgot chopsticks.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be able to eat your food otherwise.
That's the weirdest thing, you know. Everyone was eating with a fork, and I didn't want to be a bother. But I was just like, this is such a weird situation.
Maybe that's the reason why they didn't give it to you. Maybe they were just thinking he's trying to be too
probably
urban.
It's like, oh, big fucking, yeah, look at this fancy pants.
Fancy college boy.
Yeah. College boy.
This, I think, is the indicator so of... If you're truly at the lowest rung of Chinese restaurant there is, was one of the cutlery options a knife?
Oh, no. Or a spork.
I honestly...
Spork is really, really low, but when do you ever need a knife for Chinese food?
Okay, well...
This dumpling's too big.
I think there was a knife and a fork.
Not even a spoon. What is
no.
wrong with
Did
these
they just
people?
Give you
Did
steak
they
or something?
They're cooking you fish and chips?
Yeah.
Well, to be fair...
It's so removed from Chinese cuisine. Honestly, they're cooking you British ware.
To be fair, there is a tiny little menu on the side that says the Australian menu. And there's like 7 or 8 meals, which include chicken nuggets and chips, fish and chips, steak... I think bangers and mash.
And they originally named as kids menu, but decided no, yeah, this is the adults like it as much. So they named it Australian menu.
How bad is
that? Are the people at least Asian, if not Chinese?
Who?
The people that own that place.
Oh yeah, Doris is. Yeah.
Yeah, she is. Yeah. Is she Chinese?
Yeah,
though?
She's proper Chinese. Yeah.
As we
shout
were
out,
learning
shout
just
out.
Before
she's
in
awesome.
The car, because Ali was disclosing to me that Pakistan is almost completely devoid of any other culture apart from Pakistani people and
really?
Chinese.
What?
Yeah.
Is that... Are
I
they,
don't
are they lost?
Be...
Were they going over the mountains and then went like...
They're lost.
What, you think it's like the never-ending story?
Yes.
And actually did used to own dragons. They're trying to find him.
In the Himalayas. Right,
pretty much. That's the only reason I can imagine.
Koresh?
Well, that's weird. That's an interesting.
To tell you, that's absolutely not the reason. It's the same reason they're here. Is what we're saying is
okay, yeah.
Chinese just put up with anything. Doesn't
yes,
matter.
As long as it's economical.
Right.
Yeah, which is why you've got good old Doris.
Yeah. Oh, dude, she battles. She battles. I remember when we were there last time, and I was basically getting abused by a karaoke singer playing guitar in the RSL. That was the guy that I was telling you about that walked up and be like, don't break my heart. What you eating today? Ribs and chips? That looks pretty good. Achy, breaky heart. Just kind of walk away.
It also took bites of that person's ribs.
Yes. I think they might have.
Trying to figure out what he wanted for dinner.
I really...
This is my version.
You should
payment.
At least explain this guy, because I think this guy is worth mentioning.
I don't know what
Rural bum slash the only entertainer.
Yeah, it
was stuck to the whiskey bottle.
Oh, I didn't
now.
Mention this last time. Oh, I forgot to mention this. Okay, so this is a man who was shredding to Santana's what's that
this
song?
Life ain't good enough, I can help my world. Of course, the only Santana song he knows is the one that includes the guy from Matchbox.
Yeah, and like, so he also like came up and sat it out. He was playing karaoke. He was playing karaoke. I wish I might have to. I don't know. I can't really play it now. But like, yeah, karaoke with like all the hits and sort of you know all the hits: Midnight Oil, AC/DC. I don't know, like Bob Marley, and he
and
had
of course,
props.
Chef's chocolate salty balls.
Oh my god, it was surreal.
Which you knew that nobody in the audience had ever watched South Park.
It was
they
no,
just
no.
Thought he was being extremely it was, offensive, it was, and they didn't care.
It was absolutely surreal.
Welcome
it was a,
to Lithgow.
It was a man in a fake wig, a Hawaiian shirt, playing an electric guitar with these really cheap lights.
He had a
really,
fake wig.
He had props with his songs, like. Different kinds of shirts.
Sick. It's like he's still trying to get on Red Faces for Hey Hey.
It was very much like that.
I think he was just like a really outdated Elvis.
About cheap wigs. It's my secret dream as well.
Probably your uncle.
To be on Red Faces.
It's probably your uncle, this guy. But like, but like, I've never. It was just
Dad.
It was just a surreal moment where I think I put it on Instagram or something. It was just a surreal moment where I'm watching this man. Yeah, karaoke sing, chef from South Park's Suck on My Chocolate Salted Balls to, like, war veterans, I think? Like, older generation, while I'm just drinking a Peroni, or a Pure Blonde, I think, because I was trying to lose weight. So I'm drinking a Pure Blonde, and just, like, eating Doris's Chinese food, just being like, this is Blade Runner-esque, in a weird way, dystopic. It was surreal. It was so surreal. And I watched it for hours.
Anytime you're in an entertainment zone that is not designed purely for you, all you can think is, I am in a dystopia.
Honestly.
It's really strange, isn't it? It doesn't matter where you are. A ton of fun, an RSL gathering shindig, a Buschdorf, any of these things, as soon as you're in that moment, you're just, I would prefer to be in Mad Max than here.
Yeah, but can't you, like, just imagine that guy's backstory. I bet he started off in Lithgow and he thought he was, like, the Elvis and just, like, strumming the guitar, and people were probably saying, oh my god, he can sing, he can play music, and he's funny as well. And now he's just a drunk trying to emulate the same thing.
So good. Yes, Gus, his album, Gus, Big Fish in a Small Pond.
Man, it's brutal, and like, I really, 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 really would hate if there's a tiny chance that his like teenage son listens to this podcast and then he hears it, because I'd feel so bad, because nothing against these guys, like, good on you, mate, you're rocking out, you're making a living, you're doing all right, like, and it was entertaining, but like, I could tell you his life story.
You pussy, you deserve to be punched again.
You can do it again if you want.
As well.
This is what
anyway,
we come to.
Anyway, we'll just move on to the next show.
Yeah, we should probably move on to the next segment.
But no, but just as a quick summation.
Matt
no. Like,
it was
great terrible.
That we have an infield reporter into rural Australia now. That's really exciting.
But his life would have been... Probably his life, his early life, would have been mine up to now. You know, sticking stickers of your band on public spaces and vandalizing in hope that someone might walk past it and be like, yeah, cool, that looks interesting.
Yeah, okay,
I've seen a sticker before.
That is exactly what Miss Love is doing. Mr. Love has printed his band stickers and he is now strategically placing them all over FBI studios in the hopes that one day
without
some executive is going to look
email,
at them.
Email. Just hopes that somebody's going to be that motivated that they're going to look it up themselves.
Believed in his art, man.
Going, look, I'll tell you what day it is today, and then Miss Love going, Thursday? No.
It's the day that
I give you a record label and some extremely indie band label that offers you absolutely nothing and takes 30% of everything.
Anyway, yeah, he had those very humble and, you know, good ambitions that you're talking about now. And then I guarantee you that he just got run down. He could play guitar, you know, so he probably did a few sessions here and there, started playing, played new bands, got an offer to play, his band got an offer to play at an RSL. They started to play, then the band members started to leave because they started to get married. So then he started to do it on his own. Then he was like, I'm going to live with this shit up, which in weeks. And I was like, and it sort of, he sort of fused it with like, it's going to be, you know, comedy music fusion. And that's where he's at now.
Dude, that's a sad story. Jesus. It's a 90s rock and roll movie gone wrong.
Yeah. Oh my God. I can guarantee you that's what happened. And you know,
you're more or less describing early onset dementia.
You know what the worst thing was?
Yeah, he thinks he's a woman.
One or two of my friends, I sent them photos and they said, you in 10 years. My world to lift you up.
At least
who
you can
needs a functioning computer when you've got that music to lose, huh?
We should probably move on.
Not only an air guitar, but also just an air instrumental. So we'll go moving on to Ouija board / ghost. No music for that?
No, I got it.
No, that's fine.
As like most of the listeners know.
Oh, yes, I don't want to join FBI as free. Cop that.
My God. This reminds me of my old videos when I used to use that all the time. And I'm still not going to give credit to the guy that said that. Because this was when I was really scared of copyright strikes.
Yeah.
So I used to always use free music. And this is the only dude that makes even remotely good music and hands it out for free.
Oh, really?
Gosh, just mention my name, please. That's all I ask.
And you didn't do it once. How long are these? Is this the whole... This goes for... Oh, no. Doesn't go for that one.
Thank you very much, Miss Love. Turn it off now.
Yeah.
Okay, so... We're discussing Ouija boards and ghosts again.
because
Miss Love wasn't here.
They left
because
me
he
out.
Had to buy a shirt. Apparently it took him until Wednesday to get one. He's driving down from Lithgow listening to the podcast, realizes that he's a fan of the pod.
That literally happened. I was driving down and I listened and I'm like, I like what these boys are doing.
I became a fan. Gave us a rating on iTunes. Which you should be doing, by the way. Give us a rating on iTunes purely to help it spread. Come on. Now.
Yeah. Absolutely. Sorry, yeah.
You don't want to do a Ouija board, despite the fact that I found where you can get them, and the answer is Toys R Us.
What? Wow, spooky shit.
Dude, it doesn't count if it's...
It is really cheap to look at.
Dude, it doesn't count if it's a Barbie brand.
Hasbro.
Is it a Barbie brand?
Dude, that's going to be scary because like, I think the Barbie's ghost is going to come
on. Oh, my God.
And she would have some demons in her closet, man.
That'd be okay, but they sell them at, what, Toys R Us?
It shouldn't be in the... such evil shouldn't be in such little hands.
No!
But it is.
Yeah, why are like...
Anyone's allowed to get them. Surely if there was any merit to this... There should be at least an R18 rating on it.
I know.
You know, you can still get this, but have an adult present at least.
Come on.
Just give a bum $2 to come in and go, oh, yeah, this extremely well-groomed boy is my son.
Yeah, like, it should be, like, Ouija board should be in, like, a nostalgia shop or something a bit more...
It has to at least sell one shrunken head.
Yes.
So Toys R Us either needs to get a bunch of voodoo paraphernalia on the outside.
Yeah.
Sell chicken's blood. Or just put it into a store that's on a dockyard.
Dude, I'm sorry. Save it for the stores where it's like, the yogurt contains bendo potassiate. That's bad. Can I go now? It needs that place.
Yeah.
You know, like it needs to be creepy.
It has to be old Chinese guys with extremely long fingers. And if you ever break them, he's going to cry.
Yeah. It needs to be a place where they definitely are just getting by with the rent of the shop, you know?
Yeah. And by getting by, he is threatening the owner with curses.
Yeah, exactly.
Just really nice Fijian man that sits there going, okay, you can pay next month. That's fine.
Yeah. Curse you. And when you try to get that Ouija board, he says $100, and you say, can I do it for $50? And he says, no, take it for free. but you're still not spooked at that point. You're still like, yeah.
Oh boy,
what a great
bargain dealer that I thought I was.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, screw driving the landlord and screw customers, both of you.
Driving it down. No, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think I was just...
Yes, you drove a bargain, right? More than you bargained for.
Yeah, I was driving down and just became a fan of the pod and then felt like...
decided that he likes doing this.
And
had a life-changing moment.
And basically just had this image of, like, you know, ghosts conjuring and the old bloody old, I don't know, the M4 or whatever the hell I was driving and just being like, gotta put the pedal to the metal. Gotta stop them from dealing with the occult. Doing it, doing it. Can I turn to a mission, you know? Just to get here and...
I hope that you were still sticking to the speed limit. No. That was great. He was at 98 kilometers an hour and went to 100 kilometers.
I've gotten two...
Buckle up for safety, boys!
I've gotten two speeding fines from driving up to the mountains because there's three checkpoint things with cameras now where it's like hard to not go 70 and the speed limit's like 50 in these areas. So shout out New South Wales government.
Gotta say, guys, is it really fair that any of us live past 60? We're already 40. We do is complain about bills.
But it's
speeding.
But it's true, though.
Damn it! It's my right.
It's quite unfair that a man like Miss Love has to pay $180 for his telephone bill and regular speeding tickets.
Both of you guys are in collared shirts. I say that, and then you go, "No, but in all seriousness, come on, like, let's really talk about." Well, it's the principle of it, isn't it?
No, but I say...
Of course you're on his side.
I say, if you're on minimum wage, your fine should be accumulated into a pool that you will pay later.
Damn straight, I'll pay it when I'm...
So you think it should be like Hex?
Yes. I agree.
If you're on minimum wage.
I'll elect Ali for governor of Sydney, or whatever.
And
council member.
And
I don't think it's 1825 anymore, Miss Love. I don't think he's a governor of Sydney.
That would be
so...
Governor of Sydney, yeah.
The reason why he's on this is because he wants to start a campaign where he's going, impeach Sir Henry Parkes.
Yes. And those Western Australian barbarians. That was a time when they used to reference it from W.
I decree that any man...
Before the Commonwealth.
I decree that any man with an ice cream coat in his pocket will be sent to a minimum jail sentence of 2 weeks. You know, it's illegal to have an ice cream cone in your back pocket in New York State.
Why
do you want to keep an ice... It's going to melt. Like,
no,
it's
illegal.
That was a stupid...
It's illegal.
Why do you have to make these rules?
I didn't make it. I'm saying that's still a... Because it was something like in New York, people would do that to lead horses away and they would steal horse carriages. So they'd be like, you should know me. I'm not doing anything. I'm just walking. and the horse would try to lick the ice cream. So it's still to this day illegal.
That's sick.
Anyway, back
no,
to...
No, but like, okay, don't you think that we should
4-year-old
have...
4-year-old ambulance with tidbits.
But don't you think we should have like a progressive system for fines as well as tax? If we can tax people according to their income, why can't we fine them according to their income as well?
I agree.
Yeah, I hate to be the devil's advocate here, but I really don't like the idea of dudes with long hair not getting taxed to the shit.
Yeah, but man...
So you think anybody who says that, like, I've got a job, I'm a student of life, that guy should be paying as much as Malcolm Turnbull should be in fine.
But he doesn't make as much.
You have to love this guy. You gotta be. I kind of get where he's coming
from. No, I know. They pay.
Yeah, we should have a progressive tax system, but we should also have it based on how much of an asshole.
Yes,
you are.
Yes. Annoying,
how do you judge that?
Annoying based system. There should be a judgment of annoying.
We were talking about it in the car. If you look like Jesus Christ, I can guarantee you're a dick. You're a dick.
Like, I was.
If you've got long hair and a beard,
you're getting
a massive fine for
the
smallest infringements.
For jaywalking.
For jaywalking, we're taking your house.
I love that someone Jordan, who can get a damn haircut.
I love how Jordan's like super liberal, but when it comes to annoying like musos, he wants to lock them up. Lock them up.
Yeah. I was
rather
like,
play hack and shack than lock up the homeless.
And Jordan changed his view as soon as I told him that according to most historic accounts, Jesus was most likely not a carpenter, but like, you know those guys that stand outside Home Depot and say, 2 hours, $2, please. And they just work like, because
he was a
handyman.
Window washer.
No, he was a handy dude.
No, he was essentially Jerusalem's version of one of those Mexicans that goes, yeah. I can't work today, come on. And
he was a laborer. Goes, Jesus was just a laborer and take whatever he could get. That's what he was. That's
and like ever hilarious. Since Jordan found that out, he's been like paying out Jesus way more. Yeah. So he wasn't even worth it.
Oh, that is a pretty lame job for like a prophet.
It's
for
such
the
an Australian bogans take on religion that as I've never had a problem with religion ever until I found out that Jesus was a bum, didn't get a skill, and now he's going around mooching claiming that he can do miracles, obviously for a scam.
This is why I love
Jordan. Why we need a current affair.
It was a scam that lost until today.
Yeah.
Where people
man, what a genius, really going for the long con.
This is why I love Jordan, like economically he's like, you know, yeah, like very liberal, but socially like he's like peace man, but socially he's just like giving the finger, and I think it's because of his Croatianness.
I second that because there is an inherent
hate on wogs for hating on everyone else. That's racist, man. That's just part of our fiber.
It is. I think it is. Yes, I think there's something. It's something inherently. I mean, if you go
dirty
over there,
fiber.
If you go over there, there is this sort of, and I think it's as well as the you know Russians. There's this sort of stoic headstrongness of just like, what do you like, you know, arms crossed and like, what do you mean I can't get on the boat? Like they just don't give a shit.
Yeah. Why? Why?
There's a point where feelings don't matter in a lot of Eastern Europe, and it's like it happens pretty quickly in the bar. It's like be nice to someone, let people live out their freedoms. It's about there. That's where it
man,
stops.
You
everything
opened
else
my
is...
eyes. I really, I shouldn't be friends with Jordan. I should be fighting crusades with this guy.
So true that the thought to stop crusades definitely came from England. We would have been petitioning right up until the Soviet Union.
Come on.
Yes.
Please.
Come on, they've got some spices. Let's
get this. Shish kebab.
Try your own
shish kebab.
Shish kebab. You can have a much more fragrant tea.
I just like him saying shish kebab.
So good. Yeah, the British thought of colonizing. We thought of just more crusades. That was our way of getting more teas.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. And you already had tea, more fragrant tea.
Anyway,
but they've got cinnamon there, you see. Have you tried cinnamon? Me neither. I've heard it's the shit.
Cinnamon
the original,
donuts.
The original cinnamon challenge. We should put that under a picture of the Crusades.
Yeah, and then underline and then underline sin. Like sin.
Yay!
Right,
anyway,
well,
we
I love it when everyone adds to the pot. Anyway, so let's go back to these Ouija boards.
Yeah, we digress.
Mislav, you've got some ghost stories for us.
Well, I've got... Yeah, first of all, can I just put in my 2 cents? I'm very against that idea and very scared.
Even though, again...
Where did you
Eastern
European man
go? Essentially what this is a Monopoly board with the alphabet on it. That's what you're scared of.
I've heard...
I am more scared of the Monopoly board, man, than I am of Ouija board.
Your story...
No, teaches us all a harsh lesson.
It teaches all a harsh lesson.
It's hard to get out of jail. If you mess up, you gotta, you know, you gotta get 2 turns before you get out of jail free.
Turns like a proud family member against another proud family member. All Ouija boards is just unites everyone together.
What if...
Dude, I love... This is great about this show, that it's two wogs in a Marxist. That's what we have here. Two Eastern European morons sitting there going, I've seen that ghost. I swear to my mother, grandmother, she's seen it. She thinks she must be her grandmother. And then we've got this guy over here going, I'll tell you what's really scary. Capitalism.
I'll go with me.
It's a monster we all see but choose to not see. Whereas the ghost is a monster we all choose to see but is not there.
Deep, man. Deep.
No. Miss Love seen ghost. Miss Love seen ghost.
What is this? Can I just say, what is this like overt optimism for this Ouija board? There's not either, but you've said you're up for it, even though you've heard that they've given coordinates better than the generals in wars. And you're saying you're
but
keen.
But that's a good thing. There's some good things that come out of Ouija boards, and I've looked up on Google, on WikiHow, how to make sure that your Ouija board doesn't get any bad spirits in it. And I'm pretty sure it all comes down to buying cheap incense.
Oh my god. Oh god. Okay, you know
that's that... one problem solved. Let's move on to another.
Make sure you don't do it in a graveyard. We'll be doing it in an abandoned insane asylum.
Oh my god.
That should be fine.
Okay. I remember you suggested doing it. I think it's Picton. I don't know if it's Picton. It's like the most haunted suburb in Australia. I think it's Picton. I can't actually remember. But there's like various locations.
Yeah, anywhere that's still to this day, most of its economy is from horse sperm.
Yeah, or coal.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Horses fucking is how they make their cash.
Yeah, so I heard
such a good backdrop for a horror movie, though.
So
a place that makes money through, like, horse insemination.
Yeah, okay. So, but as being, you know, as a newly won over fan of the pod, I was listening to you guys.
Disgusting.
And you said that you want to go to there's a haunted tunnel in Picton that is now abandoned, where a local woman, like 100 years ago, was either raped or committed suicide or murdered, died in there. There's been people have gone through there. There's been accounts of like voices, strange smells, dramatic drops in temperature, and one bloke described that when he was walking through it, either side of the tunnel went black, so he felt like he was locked in there. And you want to do a Ouija board summoning in that?
Okay, I fully withtract everything I just said. I'm on pissed off side. I don't want to do this anymore.
I saw, okay, he's got
some
very good points.
You guys are most undecisive about this.
As soon as he became a fan of the pod, he started doing his damn research.
Just quickly, I've got more. I told my girlfriend about this. My girlfriend's mum and her sister did a Ouija board thing when they were in high school. They lived in Brighton in England. They're like, let me show Fern. And they did it as a joke, and they did a summoning thing or whatever. Ouija board thing. My girlfriend's mum said that while they were doing it, a glass flew off the table and smashed into the wall. And then her sister...
Yeah, this is a common one on the net. I hear about this all the time.
She told me it happened. She said...
Okay, I need to, like, ask a serious question right now. So when we're
Jesus
talking about...
Like, why do you have to...
No, I'm serious. I'm fucking... Okay, that's what the question's about. So when you guys say that you're afraid of doing this and you're, like, you've heard these stories, are you guys, like... Okay, like, I know this might be a basic question, but do you actually believe it, or just want? Are you trying to like? Are you just having fun with the idea that glasses can flow off?
No. I don't hopefully believe it, but I.
No, but what does that mean? Hopefully, do you think?
I believe that some heavy shit could go down, and I just don't want. People have said that they've been haunted. They've had stuff has gone wrong. Like that, like consistently, like bad things have happened after a bad experience. I have no idea. I'm too lazy to actually look into it. Obviously, the science is completely off.
Okay,
but I guess I believe it. I'm like,
you've seen a ghost.
I think I've seen a ghost. Yeah.
What the fuck? Like literally an hour ago, you were saying I am positive I saw a ghost, boys.
Well, yeah, I think I saw a ghost. Yeah, I'm pretty positive.
Okay. Well, what happened?
Do you want to hear my ghost story?
That's what the segment was supposed to be.
But no.
I don't know. I kind of want to hear your story about how Optus is charging you.
How good's the parallels of the content? Yes, my phone bill's too high.
Right in the segment. Right in the center. That is supposed to be filler. That is nothing but the coleslaw on the sandwich.
No, but I think that's actually way more substantive. Because, like, I feel like the poorest people get the highest telephone bills. I don't want to get to. I don't want to get into it, but
shut up, Ollie. No, you're right. But we're telling.
Yeah, I know he's right, but seriously, at the same time, got a ghost story.
Yeah, I'm sure. Listen to it. No. I'm telling you the ghost. Okay, I'm going to tell you the ghost story in a moment. We're going to finish that segment on my ghost story because I'm going to tell you because I'd be interested to know what you think, and it's a great story. But with the Ouija boards, first of all, I don't know if I believe it. I've just heard a lot of shit, and I just feel like this. I kind of believe it. Having said that, if you guys want to do it, I'll gladly stand 20 meters away and watch with binoculars.
Why would you stand 20 meters?
That was my plan.
So you reckon the ghost...
And we can't just have Ali doing it by himself. That's not how Ouija boards work.
I seriously do not want to go into an abandoned insane asylum and do a Ouija board. I don't want to do it. And that's so pussy of me, but I feel like I'll just... Can't we just, like, make someone else do it?
We've got Christo.
Who's that?
He's my 17-year-old that handles my Instagram
account.
He's got
no future. Send him
in. And he has a Ouija board. Okay, we'll get Ali and...
Ali and Christo. Because he's a skeptic, so he doesn't have an excuse.
The only way I am going to this, I am more than happy to do whatever you guys want, but you fucking pussies are coming with me.
I'm not doing it inside the building. Australia has so many like haunted air, and they have such a tumultuous past with killings and rapes and murders.
What are you talking about, man? Like, this is one of the best places. Like, every country in the world has had a tumultuous... And you were talking about, like, 100 years ago there was a rape. Man, I bet there was a rape, like, last week in Picton.
I'm sorry. Go to, like, the bush. Go to Lithgow and, like, stand near the scrub at nighttime. It's creepy. More creepy than a European forest. There's some, like...
Yeah, it's because all of our trees are so jagged and pointy. And all of our animals have very big eyes.
And I do have this weird feeling sometimes, where it's so dumb, where I'm at, like, you know, the bush or the scrub, and there's just these, like, Aboriginal ancestors looking down at me and be like, "You did this to me." And I'm like, I'm sorry.
I'm Croatian, man.
I'm sorry.
Came much later.
No, man, I'm only on this earth to bring out banging surfy tunes.
Yeah. I bet you'd like
the
him.
Ghost, yeah, just being like, what's a surfy tune?
Like,
I wish that every day was a Sunday.
That's pretty rocking.
So the biggest audience Miss Love has ever had.
Ghosts.
They're dead. Aboriginal tribal elders.
They're dead.
Every day is a Sunday.
Also. Okay, I've heard a variety of stories that are very sus, and there's like, I just don't want to do... I might go into the haunted place. I might do stuff like that, but I'm not going to dive in the deep
end. Oh, you are. This is an announcement that I think we've announced 3 times on this podcast already, but it's happening as of next week. The next 10 podcasts that we do of the Friendly Geordies podcast will be at the most haunted places in Sydney.
Wow, that's a commitment.
I don't want to do that.
We can do the next one.
That's more than 10.
How are you going to find 10 haunted houses?
I haven't done 10.
It's a really difficult method.
Oh, my God.
What you do is you type into
you
Google.
You don't sell anything by that. Oh, it's a really difficult method.
This is bullshit. I didn't sign up to be...
Okay, dude, we do the next one in a haunted house
I'd rather not. You've
got to do at least one.
Miss Love is an experience.
Okay, fine.
With the dead. Who, as we've all previously discovered as of 5 minutes ago, is your core audience base.
And also,
yes, you might only have 370 likes on Facebook, but it's
Forest
a lot
Hall,
like
people
voting for Sideshow Bob.
And dude, there's you're going to be dead soon. You're going to be dead as well, and you want to like get your social sort of standing right up there.
I just don't understand how like a man that's frightened to be kicked in the nuts is happy to awake the dead.
What are you talking, man? Kicking in the nuts actually hurts. Awaking the dead does not, because I'm pretty sure they're asleep for a reason.
See that guy? That's what you're going to see, a ghost version of that. Do you want to see that?
No, actually, not really.
Well, there is a guy that just walked into the producer's studio who is approximately
looks like Tim Bailey. Looks like Tim Bailey.
A hipster Tim Bailey.
All right, let me get on with the story, though, because we can go around in circles with this. Let me go on the story. I'll tell you my ghost story.
Thank you.
God, this is sloppy.
Long story short, and just to preface that...
No, you go ahead to go, sorry. No preface, no. Just
what's
the
last...
The last preface was 10 minutes ago.
All right, long story short, I was in Canberra at my friend's house because I used to go there for holidays, and he used to live right in the edge of town. And he used to live right in the edge of town, and we would just, I'd go there every holidays. Anyway, his parents used to fight, and it was much like Milhouse. He was like, he used to, you know, this is where I go when to cry, like when his parents fought, he used to just go on giant bushwalks. Anyway, so don't laugh at that.
I don't know,
laugh at that.
Yeah, what do you mean not laugh at that?
Sympathy for that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I have zero sympathy.
Oh, all right, whatever. Anyway.
Not for any reason. I just don't like this guy. I don't know him, but I don't like
him. Anyway, so he went on big bushwalks. He was way out of the cities, right in the scrub. And I figured out, I think it was just west. So he would just head west, deeper into the forest or whatever. And one day we're like, let's go for a bushwalk. We're fighting, blah, blah, blah. We packed water, a banana, and I think a knife, you know, as like kids do when you go on adventures or whatever. So we packed all that up, and then we started off on our adventure. So we just started walking. We just picked an arbitrary way and just walked. We started super early, and we walked for like 6 hours in one direction. Ages. We were just walking, and we didn't change paths. We just went in one direction. We went past all these kind of different terrains. There was just like, it was just like cows and stuff, some sort of farmers, I guess.
My God. The Adventures of Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn. Yeah. Except with cheap, shitty fireworks.
Yeah. Pretty much. So we were walking, we walked for ages, left that, you know, behind. So I think it was 6 hours. So we walked through, there was parts that was like swamps. There was abandoned...
Mississippi River, did you see that?
There was. There was these massive swamps. There was just bushland. There was parts that were just like no vegetation, just desert for ages. Like you couldn't see anything. And then there was old houses that were just completely dilapidated, but then they started to pick off. It was really in the middle of nowhere, and this was like boiling hot in the day. I don't know, it was kind of stupid doing it, but boiling hot walking out in this direction. And I remember at one point we got to this part of the scenery, some part of land, and it was just a field of like sheep bones. It was crazy. Like not even like no
meat.
How did you
know there were sheep bones?
Because there was like skulls. It was like you could see like the skulls and everything. There were these tiny little things. I took one home to Sydney.
A barn aside.
Yeah, it was crazy. But they'd been there for ages. Obviously maybe there was a drought and they'd been abandoned, but it was surreal. I'd never seen anything like that. It was pre-iPhone, so obviously I didn't take a photo, but it was just like a field of bones. It was surreal. So we were just going for ages, and then we got to this point. I'm trying to characterize here is there was no one around.
Oh, okay.
There was no one around. It was at all. Like, there was no...
At that point, Arlo got it.
There's no one around. That's all I'm saying. And then we got to this point where there was this... It was like a huge, like, open plain. Like, you see those desert flats almost. It was like a desert flat. Like, it was like... You know, when you see that it's all crumpled, the soil, and you can see the, like, from the heat, like, the squiggly, you know... What do you call that? I don't know. Condensate.
Yeah, I'm not really sure either.
You know what I'm saying? But anyway...
I'm going to have to use the... classic Republican defense here. I'm not a scientist.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not a scientist, but global warming is bullshit.
So in the sort of like in the you could see for like miles for like it was just nothing, nothingness. And then there was this old like wire fence. It's this old crappy fence that was half falling apart. Anyway, probably like I don't know. I guess it was maybe 300-400 meters away, there was a figure, and it was like, it looked like a woman in a really, really old, like 1800s, old-timey black veil that was like a ballroom gown thing, basically, like giant, like one of those big, like a black corset, black thing that goes out like this, a huge black veil over her face, and this, like a black, like a hat that you would wear, like much time, likely the old, like...
Could it be like picnic, a burqa?
Sorry?
A fucking burqa.
Yeah, well, no, well, maybe, yeah, but anyway, so like,
I'm sorry for that addition.
Yeah, well, first of all,
he didn't realize that he was walking underwater. For days.
I knew...
And then he just went into Afghanistan.
I knew... I knew that you would jump onto it, right? Like, jump to that conclusion.
I'm sorry.
But we had walked away from... I mean, like, there was no farms there, that's for sure. There was definitely no house. There was no water. There was nothing there. There was nothing there. If you'd walk this from that direction...
Yeah.
Past all the bush. I mean, you couldn't drive. There was no tracks. But you could have walked... You probably could have walked the same way from another direction. Yeah. A whole bunch of... For, you know, in 40-degree heat from town, I guess. But
that's what isn't it like a really common case though? Like if you're exercising and it's really hot and you're dehydrated, like hallucinations are pretty common.
Two people hallucinating the same thing.
And on top of that, why would you hallucinate a woman dressed in 1850s gowns?
But that's what all you're thinking.
I haven't finished. It's not that much more evidence, but still. So she was wearing that.
One of the most disturbing ghost stories I've ever heard as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome. It happened to me. So this lady looked like a lady, but really old timey. And the thing that creeped me out was you couldn't see if it was like one of those like, it was a giant fucking veil things. Like the veil had to be carried as just like the fucking the dress, like it was that's huge.
She was a widow.
Yes. It looked like a widow.
Mourning in her wedding dress.
Well, it was all black. I don't know.
Maybe it was her funeral dress that she wore to her husband's funeral.
But anyway, we both saw her. There was a shock of we were like, holy shit, we haven't seen someone for so long. Like, it's easy to be like 6 hours isn't much, but that's a long time to be doing, to just be walking.
Yeah.
So like, we saw her. And she was, say we were here, oh, I won't explain it like that. She was moving in a kind of diagonal direction, not exactly towards us, but kind of as if she was passing us. So like if she kept coming towards us, then she would have kind of been super close. She would have come super close. And she was moving really quickly. She was floating. And this is what happened. We saw it. And this, I feel like, might add to the legitimacy. Neither of us said a word. We looked at each other. We saw it. In our minds, we're like, what the hell? Looked at each other, instantaneously started running back. And because we were like 13, we ran for like 20 minutes. We literally turned around and piss bolted back to the direction we were going because we just got fucking scared.
Did you look back?
No. We were so scared. I can't explain it. I couldn't look back. I didn't want to look back. I was just like, run. Everything in me told me just to run. But she was, yeah. So that's my
holy
ghost story.
Shit. Dude, you like, Jordan's that not going to sleep tonight.
Yeah, I don't think I will be able to.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm going to have to sleep at your house.
Are you serious? So you liked it. I thought you guys were going to be like, bullshit.
No, the story was fine. Just a bit, like, it was interesting. Like, I want you to... I was like, wait, what happened next?
Yeah, that's what happened. I promise you I'm not exaggerating. Like, why would I? What do I gain from making up a story? Yeah. I wouldn't gain anything. Like,
Miss
it happened.
Love is really one of those people that's just like, if you ask for the blood, I take it out. One of my friends. One of those.
Yeah, but yeah. This was also at the age of 13.
I was young. I might have been, maybe I was 14, 13, 14, but I was young, but...
Like kids tell more truth than adults, no, are they?
Tell more truth, but kids don't remember enough truth. They have images.
Maybe.
And part of the stories is added on.
Your points...
But again, two people seeing it, are they?
Yeah, Ali has points, right? Could have been, it could have been a person. It could have been, who knows, but...
No, I don't think it would have been a person.
A lot
if it was
when
a person...
I saw that guy dragging a dead corpse out in the middle of the outback.
That could be possible.
Wait. Like, it sounds unlikely, but man,
no,
there's
I believe
five
that.
People there that saw
I,
it.
I believe that because that's like just a murder story.
That's different. But the thing
which is fine. Like, yeah. That shit
anyway,
happens all the time.
Let's just get back to the veiled woman. That's
yeah.
Floating.
But no,
no one tell the cops about that. That's fine.
But for
get paranormal investigators on this.
Yeah, but for
the X-Files people just like walking up. Wait, was this like an Ivan? Well, no, like just Western Sydney or something.
What, this thing? Yeah, Canberra,
Oh, this was in Canberra.
It was in Canberra. It was in the like somewhere out west in Canberra, way out of town.
For the 10th podcast, can we walk there?
You know what? I was talking to my... Oh, it's so funny you mentioned that because I'm still friends with the guy. And I was talking to him about it. And then we were like, oh, we should invest. Like, we're so lazy we didn't even Google if something went down there. We're like, we should really Google and see if someone died there. We're like, yeah, we should. And just never did it. But next step to that is like, we have
Googling
been...
Googling it.
No.
Don't be crazy, Jordan. We're not going to do that.
No. We can Google it. But we had discussed to walk back to go back. I mean, it'd be impossible to find the exact spot, but like, it'd be really cool, kind of crazy. I don't know. I would like to do that.
You think she's still waiting? Was it near any old dilapidated buildings?
No.
Dude, you know what? It could have been like, now it could be just a suburb with like houses.
No,
and shit.
It's not. I asked him. I'm like, oh, what happened to that area? It's like, oh, he said it got a little bit more built up around there, but he said where we went, it's just still the bush. Like, it's not like they built complexes that far, you know, like it was really like, it was in the middle of nowhere. Dude, we got to a point where there was a sea of skeletons. No one's, you know what I mean? Like, that's, if that doesn't give you an idea of barrenness, then yeah. So that's my story.
It's beyond the dead sheep.
Way beyond. I don't know why.
That gives you a very good idea.
I don't know why. In context, I did a lot of...
Go past the field of death.
In context, I did a lot of stupid shit when I was younger. Let's go for a 6-hour hike with no water in an uncharted Australian bush.
Hey, at so least story. At the so, end of that, at it least wasn't it's... a snake bite, it was a dead woman.
And that's so make better it what you than will. Saying like, man, I just smashed Angry Birds 40,000 stairs.
It's true. But also, I have to say...
See, this is what we're talking about, kids. Get off Facebook.
Yeah. But also, I have to say, too, like, before this, if someone said ghosts to me, I'd be like, a load of bullshit, baby. I was like, it's all bullshit, you know?
And plus, before that, you were 12 as well.
Yeah, exactly. But 12-year-olds have ideas, you know what I mean? Like, if I would have been like, it's rubbish, you know? So suck on that boy. There you go.
Mic drop.
Yeah, I hope my tune entirely again. I don't want to do the
I hope that influences you. Because it just, I don't know. It sounds silly, but I've heard so many different stories. And it's like, I just, if it was in a situation where we had a Ouija board in a haunted house and like that lady rocked up, I would lose my shit.
I would love
because
to
there
see
was something.
That.
All right, I've changed my mind again. Before the Ouija board,
we can do something.
Just so Miss Love shits himself.
Oh, Jesus!
It'd be excellent radio.
Okay, well.
Okay, so let's move on to Trump very quickly because we wasted a lot of time on just quick preambles, quote unquote.
Yeah.
To that.
Let me just preface that by another preface. Oh,
by saying burger rings rule, man.
Yeah, they do.
We just had to get it in, didn't we? So let's move on to Trump. What's your question to Ali about you said that you had one.
Yeah. It wasn't about Trump. It was just a broad question because I had a it was just about America. Not even about America. It's broader than that. What extent is the responsibility, what extent does a global superpower have, like, what am I trying to say? What is the extent
I
of the...
I don't know.
What is the extent...
That was just a jumble of what words, wasn't it? That was like playing Boggle. With a human being's head.
Let him finish. Please.
What is the extent of a superpower's responsibility to the world in terms of influence, in terms of aid, in terms of everything? What is a superpower's responsibility to the world?
So that's superpower.
God,
technically...
this is great because you, Miss Love, have asked the most undergrad university student asking Noam Chomsky something in the background where you never quite hear him because he's really off mic.
No, because what I was thinking about was America's responsibility to, you know, let's say everything.
Yeah.
Like NATO, immigration, like, and then I was thinking about, you know, everything, you know, Trump now and like everything that's going on. And I just had this broader question of like, who decides what's ethical enough? Is it the United Nations? I don't know. But what responsibility do they have in terms of being held to a pendulum, you know?
Yeah.
Being held to an idea of what is acceptable or seen as being like, you know, how much weight do they have to pull? Or can they just be sovereign and nationalist? That's what
technically speaking, they're... A superpower has no responsibility for the rest of the world. Because the current system of world that we live in is what we studied is called global anarchy, which essentially means that every country is on the same level. So there's no structure of hierarchy within the world.
Yeah.
So technically, no one is responsible for everyone except for every country individually responsible for their own countries.
Yeah. Sovereign countries.
But what happened was that over the years, we realized...
More globalized.
No, well, it became globalized because it was the need, because certain things you needed to handle. And someone will eventually have to fill in that vacuum, and that usually is the most powerful country off that point, or whoever has a major stake in the region. So the only reason why countries would mutually cooperate with one another is to preserve their own mutual interests. So what most countries realize is that our individual sovereign responsibilities are paramount, but they cannot be fully realized without exercising some form of authority over the global structure, even forcefully if need be, which leads to these wars and shit over, you know, oil. So technically there's no responsibility for anyone, but when you're living in a situation where there's one country that, in this case America, has way more power than every other country.
Oh, no, that makes sense.
In many instances combined together, what happens is that their interests become so large that it extends beyond their own geography. So they need to deal with situations which they necessarily don't have to or aren't even supposed to be dealing with. But because of the scale of their national interest, because they're so big, they have to do all of those things. And that often is referred to by the rest of community as international responsibility. So it's your responsibility to take care of it because you are the only person who can take care
capable.
Of it, who is capable of doing it. But having said that, living in the current way, and which is why we've developed organizations like United Nations to sort of, help with the workings
human
of this
rights.
Anarchic system. Because United Nations is nothing if no one believes in it. Because if... At the end of the day, we are all sovereign nations, so we have no responsibility. So United Nations is technically, it's only as powerful as we want it to be. And if someone like Trump or anyone decides that it's not that relevant, then he can pull out. There's certain international laws that we have agreed with, but again, those laws originated after the realization that we need to cooperate one another, and then we formed these bilateral and these... multilateral treaties. If for some reason we feel that that's not necessary, we can technically move away from it.
And what do you think? Okay, that is a good answer. What do you think in terms of the extent of like everything that's going down now with American immigration? Do you think that like it's just I'm interested in the idea.
So let me at least tell, like, I think a lot of people are talking about this, but let me tell you what it is actually.
Yeah, okay.
So there's two aspects of it. One is that for 90 days any immigration or any travel to America from the following countries is completely prohibited unless the Home Department gives a waiver. So the countries are Libya, Iraq, Syria, Sudan, Somalia, and I think these are the... These are the five countries. I think there's one more.
Egypt? No. People are angry about those countries.
But the thing is, so 99, they're still fucking countries. So
I don't know.
I'm joking.
Somalia just, shouldn't it just be renamed at this point Pirate Cove?
I just still love that there's a country called, what is it? The Ivory Coast?
Yes, Ivory.
That's so good.
How pirate-esque is that?
You've come for ivory, yeah?
Well, you've come to the right place.
We shouldn't laugh. Elephants.
Or do they just get imported to the Ivory Coast?
We shouldn't laugh. Elephants are like dangerously endangered because of that industry.
Yeah. Not because of it.
Are they?
Anyway,
I thought
this
was really one of those plenty more where they came
from
scenarios.
No, there's still
there's one like white rhino left in the world. There's one.
Yeah, rhinoceros aren't the same.
Yeah, but a lot of it is also like...
Elephants are the brontosaurus of mammals. While there are rhinoceros are clearly the triceratops.
But we digress.
But we can talk about this another time.
Yeah, so for 90 days, those countries are completely... their immigration is completely banned. The second aspect is that refugees... He's just passed an executive order saying that any sort of refugees are not permissible. So these are the two things that have happened. The funny thing about this is that all of those countries that are on that list haven't, like, any citizen of theirs haven't conducted a terrorist strike in America since 1975.
Not the case in Europe, though.
Not the case in Europe, but these bands are relevant to America. So, and the other thing is that the reason why he... So this is the reason why he's doing it. So my prediction is after 90 days, Trump will be counting those days until those 90 days are over so that he can actually get rid of that strategy, because he doesn't really want it. He's only doing it to please the people that have actually got him elected, because otherwise they would have just said, oh, he's part of the establishment now, and he didn't want to do that. So, so yeah, 90 days when those are over, refugees will continue to be a problem, but he will just, he'll just make it a lot more difficult for refugees to come in, which in Trump's defense is not only him. It's actually most of the countries that don't want refugees have just made it difficult for them to come.
But that's what I want to...
That's the hidden sort of hypocrisy that goes under this. So as long as you don't explicitly saying, yeah, you're banning them, everything else is fine. Even though it may result, it may lead to the same result. But
just... but that's the bigger philosophical question I almost have with it. If does that make you, does it make you a morally bad person to implement... restrictions on immigration or from certain areas or whatever. Do you think that's something that, you know, in terms of like an international...
That's not morally bad. So controlling immigration is completely fine, and most countries, all countries do it. In this instance, what the issue is, and because it's so potent for America, because they've had these policies. So like even Australia with white Australia policy. So America, there was a time when Japanese weren't allowed to come in. Any Asians weren't allowed to come into America. Preferential treatment was given to Europeans,
but for example,
Eastern Europeans, and Jews weren't allowed after they were for a very long time weren't allowed. So as a result, what happened was there was a consensus within politicians of America that we will make sure that this is not an issue in the future. So we will make sure that any sort of immigration cannot be influenced by religion, cannot be influenced by nationality or the region that you live in. So and because every time what happens is that after World War II, Japanese within America were put into camps because they were untrusted upon because they were fighting Japan. But every time this happens, and as a result, once it's over, once the war was over, they said that this is a very bad thing that we should have never done, and we will make sure that this never happens again.
But aren't the societies...
The next time when the issue arises, same shit will happen, and I can tell you, after this is over, we will be cursing this time and saying that we shouldn't have done this.
But aren't there societies, like Japan as an example, that have very restrictive immigration, and they're not looked down on as sort of this society that reject... Like, they're one of the biggest economies in the world,
when Japan does not accept immigration, they're not considered hypocrites because it is not a place of immigration. And
but that's,
every
but that's what I'm
ounce
saying.
Of their
but that's what I'm
political saying. Ideology is not referred to as, you know, freedom and the choice of movement and the choice
it's
of...
A it's a
democratic
it
country, but they just operate differently.
But don't you see double...
It's functionally fascist, so it's very...
But don't you
it's
think
fine for both factions?
But like, don't you absolutely. Think? I do have to say, like, the ban is like pretty crazy. I'm not for it. I think it's like ridiculous, and it's a political move. It's a move to sort of like give a big like fuck you. It's a political.
It's
tactic.
Just, no, it's ridiculous. To show you
how many people are coming from Somalia anyway.
I don't know.
No, there's a few. Dude, there's a lot of refugees that are coming from Somalia
to America.
Everywhere.
I thought that they'd just be trying to jump it to France.
No, so
what do you think about the argument?
It's closer for them to reach to France, but because there's too many refugees that are coming into Europe, most countries have said that we'll just pool in these and then give refugees to countries depending on how much they can accept. So, for instance, Germany has a horrible population problem where their population is aging, so they need a lot of refugees to come in. France, on the other hand, does not have that issue. But the thing is that refugees are coming to France as well. So what they decide is we'll distribute them according to how much one can absorb and how much one needs. In many instances, like Canada right now needs people to come in, and refugees would be very welcome for them. America is not in that situation at the moment.
I love how Japan has stuck to its guns so much that it's realized that all it can do now is invest in robotics.
And Japanese, by
They're
the
just
way,
gonna make
bring,
robots
coming back
instead
to your
of immigrants.
Japan point, they have done that. But that is one of the biggest issues with their economy, because they don't accept any immigration. Their population is aging badly. They've got a stagnant economic growth rate. They're always in a state of perpetual crisis.
But you can admit
that's
that
what's so good about it is because they've eliminated option B. So all they've got is option C.
Yeah, but option C does not necessarily mean that it's going to work out too well. at least maybe in the long run it
I don't know, man. Do you remember how crap that astronaut robot was at walking? I saw one the other day. It's slightly less crap.
But I just think that, like, the idea of open, you know, an open door policy can be detrimental. Go to Saudi Arabia. No, dude. There's cultural similarities. They're a rich country. There's like tent cities that are like empty. Yeah, dude, but like empty. About
5 million. Most of the refugees are being hosted by these countries, not Saudi Arabia, but there's about 2 million in Jordan, about like close to 3 million in Lebanon.
No, but I have a particular gripe with Saudi Arabia. It's like, why?
Dude, welcome to the fucking club. Who doesn't have a gripe with Saudi Arabia? But just because they're... And nobody
is... Who likes them?
Who fucking likes them?
No, I'm not saying anyone likes them. I'm just saying, like, if America... They're cunts.
And by the way, if America really... If Trump had the balls to actually...
I know what you're going to say, and I agree. Ban, I do agree.
Why didn't he include Saudi Arabia? Out of the 18 hijackers, about 14 of them were from Saudi Arabia.
That's true.
Why did he not include Afghanistan, who was the last time, like, the Florida gay club shooting was perpetrated by an Afghani, not included in this ban? There was the San Bernardino was by Pakistanis, not included in this ban. And the only reason is because Saudi Arabia is too big to piss off. Afghanistan already... Americans, this is all just soldiers. Conspiracy
theory, and actually the reason why I didn't include Saudi Arabia is because he's a huge secret fan of camel racing.
What do you mean secret? That's probably true.
Yeah.
No, that is a very good point. That is a very good point.
And like, just because he didn't have the balls, he just wanted to show, he wanted to shut up his constituents that elected him to show that I have enacted on this election promise without upsetting people that actually matter.
I don't think you should say he doesn't have balls, though. He just banned like seven countries from coming into...
No. Easy pickings. Yeah, come on. Easy.
That's... I wouldn't have the balls to take the copping that guy does on social media every day. That guy's...
No, but if you're doing it, go all the way, because this is just inconsequential. This policy will affect nothing. I would be more happy
if you were genuine
about it.
No, I agree.
Said, no, I'm going to do this. Instead
it's a
of
political
just like,
tactic. It's a
is
tactic.
Iraq in a mess? Can we ban people and not piss off people? Yes, we can. All right, let's do Iraq. What about Pakistan? No. Like a business there.
Yeah,
also, another observation. I'm not saying that they're related. Every country that he has banned, he has no business interest in.
Mm.
And there are countries in the Middle East, like UAE, for example, which included the list of 9/11 terrorists that are not included in this. Saudi Arabia, not included in this. Jordan, not included in this.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, Iran is included in this, which is the funniest thing ever, because from like a counterterrorism point of view, Iran is a no threat to America in that sense, because Iran is not Sunni, it's Shia. Most ISIS is against Shia. They're like a Sunni radical movement. And banning Iran is just to... One small... There's literally one reason why he did that. To make Israel and anti-Iran lobby within America happy. That's the only... So he took literally one full country for like, fuck all reasons.
He's obviously focusing on Syria because that's an issue, you know, in terms of Syrian
immigration. Then why ban Iran? Okay, if you're focusing on Syria, I understand that. Why ban Iran?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a fair call.
It's a different freaking religion. Like, it's a different sect.
And Iran is basically, like, neutral in terms of, you know...
No, they're not neutral. They're against ISIS. Hardcore against ISIS.
Well, I didn't even know that. Then I don't know why. Maybe that was a typo.
Because, like, ISIS is killing them. Like,
Maybe that was a typo.
The only
thing... What's that B for? That's a typo. Come to Homer's BYOBB.
Yeah.
BQ.
Most of the terrorists, Al-Qaeda, most of them, besides Hezbollah, are Sunni extremists and not Shia, and which means, by definition, Iran is not a threat.
Yeah. Well, once again, I just am like, you know, between a fight, you know, between the most basic, it's like when things have been broken down to, like, basic human elements and, like, good and evil and just pure like opinions of emotion, and it's just like battling with people that are just like, you know, like Hitler, Nazi, evil. And it's like,
man, okay, I understand that social justice warriors are like annoying and Hitler and Nazi references aren't way overdone, but dude, you know what Trump is just trying to do? He is just trying to tell people like us that, you know, I was serious about my shit, so that we shut up and we just assume that now he's on our side because he banned Muslims. And then he will continue to do what he wants.
I know. What would you do? What would your immigration policy be if you were the president? I'm just curious.
Certainly not this.
No, I know it wouldn't be this, but like what... What do you think's...
In classic Marxist tradition, Ali, oh, criticisms.
Man, my... Okay. No. I'll tell you...
Everyone is. I can't.
I'll tell you what my policy would have been. Yeah. Dude, okay. First thing, the reason why America is so important and so involved in Middle Eastern wars is because of energy dependence. So what I would do is look at the big picture and say, how about we eliminate the source of most of our issues and let them do it themselves?
Damn, so yes. That's a good Trump philosophy. Be self-reliant.
No, but you don't do that by denying global warming. What you do it by is a new deal with massive investment in green technology and alternative technology at the back of, conducted by the government, at the back of private money, because that's the only source of money that's stable and also, you know, pay back for all this shit. So we don't take money from them, but that would be the guarantee. And we use that money to invest in green technology. The other thing that we do is whatever happens in these areas, we're going to have to grow some balls and stay away from. Because as soon as
you... The Middle East.
As soon as you get involved in this, you become another component again in this grand scheme of things.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Obama's strategy was to do less, which I know sounds bad, but man, after doing a fuckload during the Bush years, it makes a bit more sense. And why do you want to get involved in a quagmire that nobody has ever been able to solve? You think you'll be able to solve it, Mr. Trump?
What is a quagmire?
Impossible
problem.
An impossible problem. It's just too much to deal with.
I agree with that.
Now I wouldn't include Iran in this deal because I need more partners. So I would recognize that if my fight is against ISIS, if I have, let's say that is what I've been told, now I need to form a coalition that can help me fight against them. The one thing that I would not be doing is saying let's take their oil. That would be the dumbest thing, because the people that you are working with, so for example the Iraqi military that is working with you right now to fight ISIS, is something that you need to maintain. So as soon as you say that we will take their oil, we should have taken their oil, that person that's currently fighting with you will quickly turn around if he sees that happening and fight America back. China will come into Australia and take our iron ore reserves. You would be pissed off about that, would you? Or would you not be pissed off about a country blatantly saying that they will take your natural resources?
Yeah, but this is the difference between Iraqis and Australians. The Chinese are, and we ain't doing
shit. No, but so are the Americans. But no Chinese leader will ever say that they'll just take... That will make your prospects in the Middle East even worse off. Because, again, it's a battle of hearts and minds.
Is the Middle East a problem that is, like... openly admitting because of Bush's policies, is the Middle East a problem that, like, cannot be fixed? Has there been too much damage?
The one thing... Like,
blood on Bush's hands. I'm not saying, you know...
The one thing that I would say is, listen, it might not be able to get fixed, but what we need to do is we need to take away all the fuel from it.
Because I'm literally at a point now where I'm like, this is so sad. I feel so bad. It's like irrelevant of opinions. It's gone on so long.
Don't feel bad about what's happening there, because that's their issue. Feel bad about like some really hobo people that are literally coming to your doorstep and saying, hey man, people are killing me where I'm from. Can I get a spot? Be more compassionate about that. If you don't want to be, that's fine, because obviously you can't force someone to be nice. But be more compassionate about that. Stop worrying about their countries, because they will deal with them. Just stay the fuck out of there. And if you are nice, if you do want to show, if you actually do feel bad, then some of the people that are coming over, try to help them out. And I can guarantee you that if you help them out now, if they feel love right now, they will be an asset to your country.
Really? Nah.
Anyway, that was...
Did you say no?
Jeez. I think we have to get out of here, though, don't we?
Do we?
What? How long do we have this studio booked?
Thanks, that was good.
5:17 at the moment.
No,
thank you,
I think,
as
we,
always,
I think we should be done. We should.
What's the time?
Wait, blah, mate, they can pull us out by our cold, dead hands. Keep going. Or shall we not?
What are you...
Let's do
are
an.
Are you suggesting
an annual,
barricade?
Yeah, an annual potty. Just leap, barricade it up with like vinyls. Barricade the door with vinyls and be like, "We're alive for a like 24 like Krusty in The Simpsons, where he's like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We'll just go forever."
Yeah, I suggest also that we break into Holsworthy Barracks and take a shitload of grenades.
Oh damn!
How scary would that be? Channel 7 News footage. Of Miss Love pacing up and down out of the producer's window with
an AK
a pin on. Yeah.
Walking up and down. What are your demands?
Listen,
my band.
Anyway, I guess we'll work on that next week.
All right.
We'll see you all then, guys.